Biggs
with Molly and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report
with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, I believe the Bears were on the bye, and everything kind of went pear-shaped. They come off the bye, and they're in last place. How can the 4-2 team be the only team without five wins in the NFC North? Pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, well, it was quite a day for the division yesterday. You saw the Packers go down to the final play, and then the Lions and Vikings are decided in the final minute. So some pretty good football from their rivals, their competition, and just giving you a little preview of what's to come, because this is the most competitive division in the NFL right now. And while we've seen, I think, four instances since 2020, when the NFL expanded to a 14-team playoff field, we've seen four instances of three teams from the same division all reaching the playoffs. We've yet to have the, it'll be an unlikely scenario for four teams from the same division to qualify for the playoffs.
All right, Brad, out in D.C., Jaden Daniels gets injured, leaves the game with a rib situation that will linger all week long. We'll figure out more later, according to reports. He didn't play the second half. They won handily anyway. Marcus Mariota, another former number two overall pick, pretty good replacement, pretty good backup quarterback, could start against the Bears. How deflating do you think that is for Bears fans? But how deceiving could it be, because the assumption that Mariota's a backup, he's looked good in the past, and he looked good against on Sunday.
I don't know if it's deflating for most Bears fans, to be honest with you, Dave. Most Bears fans want to see the Bears stack wins against Washington with Jaden Daniels at quarterback, Marcus Mariota, Heath Shuler, Rex Grossman, Sonny Jurgensen. It doesn't matter. They want to see the Bears stack wins, which they need to do before they go headfirst into the division schedule. Mariota's, I think he's a high caliber backup because he's got a couple things going for him. One, he's got experience. He's been around, so he's going to be able to understand the system, have an idea what looks the defense is presenting, and then he can move around a little bit. And I've always believed that if your backup quarterback has the ability to escape some, that's a big plus. Like, it's more important in your backup than it is your starter, in my opinion. So they got to go out and get a win. They've got a 3-game winning streak. They're coming off a bye. They got a big win off a bye last year. Prior to that, the Bears had been hot garbage after a week off. So they need to keep it rolling, because they cannot afford to fall behind in the division. Now, there's a segment of Bears fans who are, it seems like their only focus is on Caleb versus Jaden, or Caleb versus whoever. Maybe they really want to see Jaden Daniels play. That seems to be more in the corners of social media. I think the fans just want to see the Bears go out and put another digit in the win column.
Jurgensen, by the way, 90 years old, so he's still with us. That would be a nice matchup for the Bears.
What about Billy Kilmer?
Billy Kilmer, he was awesome.
Yeah. So help us out, Brad. So we look at this game, and obviously Caleb is from there, right? This is a homecoming game for him, so it will mean something for him. He played high school there. David pointed out Dan Quinn was a finalist for the Bears job that went to Matt Eberflus. Montez Sweat played for Washington. There are some beautiful kind of
Kingsbury.
Speaking of Kingsbury, beautiful, should have been
beautiful man.
He's a very handsome man.
He's a handsome man,
and he looks great in an architectural magazine, Brad. And he's always poised to be in one. There are a lot of little connections that are some imagined, but some real, like Montez Sweat and Caleb Williams, I'm sure, have motivation for this game. How many different storylines appeal to players when it comes to playing against your old team, playing in your old hometown?
Yeah, with Sweat, I think it'll mean something to him because he's still got a lot of friends there, right? Some of the guys on that defensive line, although Jonathan Allen is out for the season with an injury, the defensive tackle. But there's people there that he's got relationships with. I'm sure Caleb's going to be, excited to go home. But, I mean, this is the guy who packed his bags and went to Oklahoma to college. Then he went from there to Los Angeles. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's been homesick or is particularly, caught up in what's going on back at home. So that's a fun storyline as well. But, the better story here, guys, is that both these teams are playing well. These are two teams that you go back to the 80s in the Mike Ditka era, and they had a pretty good rivalry going there for a while where they met in the playoffs, I believe, three times between Mike Ditka and Joe Gibbs, and it was pretty good football. And since then, I believe they've only had one meeting when both teams have been above 500, and that was the crazy game at Soldier Field when Jake Cutler kept mistaking D'Angelo Hall for a Bears wide receiver, and D'Angelo Hall had four interceptions in the game.
You sure do know a lot about the Washington football history for a guy that covers the Bears.
That's Bears history for you there, Dave. You're okay. Hearing what you want to hear.
This segment with Brad Biggs, sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency? Call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Brad, this off week, the bye week, gives the Bears coaching staff a chance to self-scout. We say that all the time when we reach the bye week. If you're the Bears coaching staff, what do you think they unearthed that will help them the most during this time of kind of self-examination?
Well, hopefully, they get some ideas on continuing to get better up front on the offensive line. I don't know that you're going to discover an epiphany for something like that on the bye week. And they've been better up front lately, and we should take a little bit of time anyway to acknowledge that, as much as we were beating them up in the first 2-3 weeks of the season, right? It was, how could they be this blind to the problem and everything else? They've played better. Is it going to be perfect every week? No. Are they going to need to do some heavy lifting for the offensive line in the offseason ahead? I certainly believe so. Looking at the other side of the ball, I think we talked about it briefly last week, maybe. Statistically, the run defense looks just fine right now because they did a really nice job against Jacksonville when Jacksonville looked completely unprepared to play that football game and disinterested. Different effort by the Jaguars yesterday morning in London. But I would take a look at the run defense. Is there something that pops out at them in that regard? And they've said it's been one thing here, a small thing there. In examining it and taking a step back, do they find something different? Because you better come prepared to stop the run against Washington, especially if Daniels is all of a sudden healthy, because he's running the ball well. And the Commanders are averaging 5.2 yards a carry. It's the highest scoring offense in the National Football League. And, they just took their turn beating up on Carolina after the Bears did a couple weeks back. That was a complete bludgeoning yesterday.
So, Brad, famously, the Bears only looked at one quarterback. They went after Caleb Williams. They pursued him. They drafted him. And that was that. Are you surprised that they didn't extend their reach? And I'm not saying they didn't make the right decision. I'm just saying they didn't really they never brought Jaden Daniels in. They never met with him, to our knowledge. Have you discussed that with Ryan Poles or with the people around the Bears? And can you explain to us why they kind of, and I want to even be careful about saying limited themselves to just Caleb Williams, because, you know, they feel really good about him, and I think he's going to be a good player. I'm just curious why they sort of did that.
Well, I think that while some people were blind to it, that was a full year-long process of them evaluating quarterbacks, and some people thought that Justin Fields was the solution and answer and that everything was going to be hunky-dory. But at House Hall, they were working diligently to scout the quarterback class, knowing that there were potentially going to be some pretty good players in it, Caleb and Jaden included, and some others as well. And I think they did an inordinate amount of research on all these guys. I think they got out and got eyeballs in person on all of these guys with multiple people, right? With the GM seeing them in person, with the area scout, and sometimes two, three, four people in between the area scout and the GM also seeing these guys perform live, doing the background work, getting to understand these players. So,
and you did the same thing, as I recall. Didn't you go out and see Drake May and see?
I saw everybody but Jaden Daniels, okay, because it was a little bit
sounds like you knew.
A little bit easier to go from Washington, a road game at Washington,
you know.
Chapel Hill, and a couple other places. But Baton Rouge isn't in my neighborhood. But yes, I don't know that they. I think that would just be inaccurate that they didn't learn everything they could about these guys. I don't know that would paint a true portrait of what happened.
I think the true portrait of what's going on now, two things are true. The Bears feel very good about the choice of Caleb Williams, and he still has as high of a ceiling as you think he did when you drafted him, and Jaden Daniels is off to a better start in his rookie season, statistically and otherwise. Now Caleb Williams has the last three games begun to ascend. First three weren't so good. Jaden Daniels looks like the guy who was an MVP candidate. Both things can be true, and it shouldn't bother anybody that they are.
Oh, but Dave, it bothers a lot of people out there, buddy. A lot of people with a lot of time on their hands are very bothered by this. I think the Bears should feel really good about where they're at with Caleb right now, the developments that he's made to this point, the improvements. Like, he's ascending, and you can clearly identify it from where he was week one to where he is now. This isn't some mind-bending exercise that you performed when you were trying to state a similar case for Justin Fields.
Right.
Or Mitch Trubisky, and you had some people that continued to do that year after year after year, who were in fact being intellectually dishonest. Okay, you got to be careful, you know, what you listen to and what you believe that's out there. But this is, it's tangible improvement that the guy's made, and Jaden Daniels has played really well. Now, what was one of the questions about Jaden Daniels coming out of LSU and coming into the league was, could he avoid some of the big hits that he took in the SEC? And I didn't see any of that game yesterday, so I can't speak to it, but I do know that he's sidelined with a rib injury and we'll have to monitor his situation this week. Listen, all quarterbacks can take big hits. It's part of the position. It's part of the game. But people wondered about his ability to protect himself in the NFL.
I'm just curious, when you look at Washington and the way they play, you know, you hear, and I don't know if it's a complaint or not, but you hear that with Jaden Daniels, they run a so-called college scheme. They're using his ability as both a passer and a runner, but they're doing it in more of a wide open sort of college type offense with Kingsbury, who was with Caleb Williams last year at USC. I'm just curious, as you watch this, if you see some of that element to it.
I think we see elements like what used to be considered college football in every NFL offense nowadays. Like it,
right.
That's blended together for a number of reasons. It's not just quarterback. I think it extends down to what is available for the professional teams in terms of offensive linemen and things of that nature as well. The big question is, and numerous people have written about it, that these Cliff Kingsbury offenses, when he was a head coach in college and when he came in the NFL and had his brief stint there, could get off to a pretty quick start, and then you'd see kind of this tailspin. And was it coincidental? Was it, you know, one thing happened this year and something else happened that year? Or were opponents able to get a bead on what they were doing? Were there some tells that they were able to discover? Was it easier to defend after there was a volume of tape available? That'll be something that they need to answer this season with Daniels, because they're playing at a high level offensively. I mean, Daniels is completing more than 75% of his passes. He's been accurate. They've had big plays galore. So that's going to be really interesting to see in another competitive division race, not nearly as competitive as the NFC North, but you know, it's been a while since the Commanders have been worth really talking about in the NFC East, and they're playing well. They're another team that you look at it and you say, well, okay, who have they beaten? You know, that's one of the discussions I think that people have about the Bears. Well, now these teams get to go head-to-head.
So, Brad, quickly, set us up for the rest of the week in terms of what the Bears will do when they return to the practice field and who might be coming off the injured list or available. Jaquan Brisker, Kylie Gordon come to mind, and then Larry Borum and Ryan Bates on the offensive side.
Yeah, they've got some injured guys you want to keep an eye on. I would add in Tyreek Stevenson, the cornerback with the calf injury in practice in London. What is his status going to be when they get on the practice field Wednesday? Players will be at House Hall today. It's back to work. I don't know if they'll have a walkthrough today, but there is no practice scheduled for today. Tomorrow would be the normal day off for players, and then they're back to the practice field refreshed, ready to go on Wednesday. Jacob Martin, the defensive end, began practicing in London. He's still on IR as he recovers from the toe, but he'll be in the mix. What's his status or situation? And then do they start the return to practice for Borum? High ankle sprain in the preseason finale at Kansas City, and Ryan Bates with that arthritic arm condition with the shoulder and the elbow. He played, 37, 38 snaps in the season opener. So those will be two guys to key on. And then the injured players in the secondary, like you mentioned, Brisker, where is he at in concussion protocol? Gordon, hamstring late in the Jacksonville win. And then Tyreek, remember, didn't play in that game. Certainly beneficial timing of the bye week for those three young defensive backs.
We should let you know that this segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years. Estwing.com. Thank you, Brad. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
Hold on. How about Russell Wilson last night, guys?
Yeah?
How about him?
What's the point?
are you asking me to say I told you so?
that draft pick, I was a little surprised because the Jets' pass defense is outstanding, number two in the league in yards per game, number 6 yards per pass attempt, and they got the big plays going that have been missing in that offense. I still think Fields gets back on the back into the mix at some point this season. It's a long season. Something to keep an eye on with you know, the draft pick either being a round 6 or round 4 pick for the Bears from that trade.
Need that 4. Got to get them on the field.
Keep waving that flag, Brad.
Start sending plays their way.
You guys have a great day.